You are listening to the always exciting Victory Church podcast, a daily source of inspiration, encouragement, and accelerated spiritual growth. We're here to help you maximize your life in minimal time. So get ready and let's dive into today's message.
When these gentlemen walked out here, my heart just exploded, and I'm just about in tears right now for the honor to be able to stand here beside men who are brave and valiant like these. How many of y'all are thankful for our law enforcement and our military men and women today? While you're on your feet, let's pray. I want you to reach your hands this way towards these guys. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you today. We thank you, God, for authority. We thank you that all authority is ordained by you. We thank you that sacrifice is the code of love. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And today we say thank you, Father, for every man and every woman and every family that serves in law enforcement. First responders, our military families, God, serving at home and abroad. Today, we apply the blood of Jesus over them. Cover them with your presence and your protection and shield them about. Let your angels surround them and fill their hearts with purpose and satisfaction and fulfillment. God, we rebuke the overwhelming discouragement and darkness and the rate of suicide in our law enforcement men and women. Heal those that are suffering from PTSD today and restore respect for authority in the United States of America, that we would never again see a bucket thrown at an officer or them doused in water. In the name of Jesus, when they see them, let them see God. And Father, we thank you today for it, and we call them blessed. God, have your way in this service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, come on, would y'all give God praise as you're seated today? I want you to take the most important weapon you have this morning. I want you to get your Bible out. If you're using your phone, go on your Victory Now app to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I want to share with you a series I've been preparing for a long, long time, and I can't wait to share with you. I've never actually taken the time to do this completely. We've talked about it separately, but completely during a series. And so today kicks off one that I'm calling it a don't miss series. Don't miss a single Sunday. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them don't miss. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, finally, my brethren, or most importantly, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. The power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, or the whole armor from God. He said, I want you to put it all on. That means there's more than one piece. You see these guys standing here today, there's more than one piece to what they're wearing. And here's why. Here's the purpose of the armor. That you may be able to stand. Somebody say stand. Stand. Somebody say stand. Stand. Come on, take a stand. Look at your neighbor and tell them it's time to stand up. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this ain't talking about John and Jen wile. This is a different kind of wiles. This means the strategies, the tricks, the schemes, the devices, and the deceptions of the devil. The wiles of the devil, verse 12. I thank God that we have the wiles of God. Amen. Give God praise for the wiles today. But he says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. He said, we don't wrestle with people, but we do wrestle with the devil. Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of what? Wickedness. Where? In the heavenly places, in the atmospheric realm, in the spirit realm, verse 13. Therefore, because of this, take up the whole armor of God, all of it. Here's why. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Can I tell you today, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the devil, even though you may not be looking for him, he's looking for you. And there's coming a day, there's coming an evil day where evil is going to knock on the door of your marriage, knock on the door of your heart, knock on the door of your relationships, knock on the door of your health or of your finances, of your kids. And the purpose of the armor of God is so that after you've done everything else, when the dust clears and it's everything else settles, you can be found standing in victory. Come on, somebody. Give God praise that that's what he wants for you. And so God has given us spiritual armor. Now remember, these guys are wearing physical armor today, but I'm talking about under armor. I'm not talking about a brand of stretchy clothes that makes you look really sexy if you're fit and really horrible if you're not. I got some of that fitted Under Armour stuff. Man, it looks like 30 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag. But Marsha loves it. The things I do because she says I look good. So we're talking about under armor. We're talking about the armor you put on spiritually. Because every day we're engaged in a spiritual battle. I know you just want to come and hear everything that makes you feel good, but there's a fight going on. Suicide is on the rise at an all-time high. Opioid epidemic is finally, thank God, just beginning to start coming down. And we have the power to take authority over those things. But every day, Mark Borek, there is a battle that rages between God and Satan that started millennia ago. We don't even know how long ago it was, before we were ever even created, when Satan tried to lead a coup against the government of heaven. And he tried to overthrow the throne of God. And he led a third of the angels of God away into deception and into rebellion. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's how fast God threw him out. He cast him down to the earth. And Satan rages here on this earth. And it is a cosmic conflict between good and evil, light and darkness, angels and demons, life and death. And we need spiritual weapons to win in this spiritual battle. Because you ain't going to win them with natural weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says, for though we walk or we live in the flesh, we're not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh. And using mere human weapons, these guys have some incredible weapons on them, and I'm going to get into it in a minute here. But verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty, they are mighty, they are mighty before God. Here's why. For the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. God gives you weapons to overthrow the enemy and to destroy every place he's fortified in your life and in the lives of those in your sphere of influence. Can somebody give God praise for authority? Amen. And so I want you to stay there in Ephesians chapter 6 because we're going to keep reading. The Apostle Paul gives us the greatest illustrated spiritual lesson of all. He gives us things that we can see to help us understand things we can't see. The Apostle Paul would have been chained between two Roman soldiers. The Roman army at that time during the first century was the mightiest fighting force on the face of the planet. They had the most current, up-to-date mechanization and weaponry that they wore. And so the Apostle Paul is looking at them as he's writing these letters. And you've got to understand today that when he says put on the whole armor of God, he's talking about something. Armor is something that covers us. It provides a protective layer for when you're engaged in battle. And ultimately, as I was thinking about this, what armor provides is an advantage. Isn't that right? It gives me an advantage over my enemy. It doesn't just increase my capability, but it also increases my level of confidence. And so I want you to look down at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, and I want you to see what Paul says. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. He's talking about a belt, just like they're wearing. They're wearing a duty belt here that holds everything on it. Having put on the breastplate, the body armor of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you'll notice that they're wearing special boots that give them the ability to keep their traction and move very quickly. And the Bible says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, these are ballistic shields. Much different than that Roman soldier would have been carrying, but very similar in their purpose. Taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then it says, and take the helmet of salvation. How many of y'all know if you get struck in the head, you're done? Right? The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? What is the sword of the Spirit? Come on, for everybody in the room and everybody on the radio to hear you, what is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. It's your Bible. We're going to get into that in a couple weeks. But these guys, they're not carrying swords today. They're updated a little bit. Is this an MPX? What are you carrying?
An MPX, 9mm.
9mm. He's carrying today's version of a sword. Y'all know it's got a pretty long blade, doesn't it? It can reach out and touch somebody. They got a sidearm on them that's like a shorter sword, okay? And so we're going to bring this tactical gear that the Apostle Paul describes up into the 21st century. And he goes on and he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The number one reason for the weaponry is so that you can go to warfare in prayer. Okay? And so I want to introduce you to these guys today. This is Bruce Hoffman. And this is Nathan Ross. And this is Derek. He's the medic. He's the one that keeps them alive. Would y'all give God praise for them? And here's the thing. They are a part of the Bradford County Special Operations Team, or our SWAT team. And so these guys are who we need. Amen? They do an essential job. They do a fabulous job. And each of them are trained in tactical specialized training in a different area, very and highly specialized. And I thank God for them and their diligence and their faithfulness. They're up here sweating their behind off today so that you can have a visual illustration. It was important to me that we bring this into the 21st century and y'all understand what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Amen? Are you tracking with me today? Is this making sense to y'all today? All right. And so I want you to know four things this morning. Number one, I want you to know you're in the army now. Some of y'all remember that chant. We can't do the whole thing. You're in the army now. You're not behind a plow. So on and so forth. But the Bible says when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you enlisted, Amy, in the army of God. Come on, somebody say, I'm a soldier. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you're a soldier. We sang that song as kids. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, you must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The second thing I need you to know today is simply this. Number two. What do we have here? He's excited about his sword. My goodness. Wearing a wife beater and gym shorts, and most of y'all were dressed like that yesterday. Got his hiking boots on. He's excited. What's sword? That's a pretty nice sword you got there, buddy. Come on. Give it up for Officer Exposure. Here's why I had him do that. I wanted y'all to see how ridiculous it is if we're not wearing the whole armor of God. The Bible says twice, put on the whole armor of God. You got to wear it all. Amen? Because if you don't put it all on, you're exposed. And here's the thing y'all need to hear me say. A lot of churches and a lot of people, when you get around them, they're only ever talking about one part of God's word. They're always talking about the sword of the Spirit. They're always talking about the shield of faith. They're only talking about righteousness. They're only talking about prosperity. They're only talking about healing. They're only talking about the Holy Spirit. You got to put it all on. Come on, somebody. Thank God at Victory Church, we're preaching it cover to cover so you can be armed and equipped and not exposed to and overcome your enemy, okay? So let's keep going. Number one, we made sure we understood we're enlisted in the army of God. Number two, you got to identify the enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, your fight is not with people. Your battle is not with your spouse. Hello? It's not with your crazy sister-in-law. Y'all laughing the loudest, got a crazy sister-in-law, I see. You need to get her to church. Get that crazy out. It's not with your boss. It's not with your nut job neighbor. Hello, somebody. It's with the devil, all right? And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, who? The devil. Who's your adversary? Come on, y'all. Who's your adversary? I want you to do it like we're in basic training today. Who's your adversary? It's the devil, y'all. He walks about like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Jesus said it like this. He said, the thief doesn't come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Can I tell you today, God's not the one that burned down your house, ran your dog over, or gave you a disease. It's the thief. It's Satan himself came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that you could have life abundantly. So number one, you got to know you're in the army now. Number two, you got to identify the enemy. Who is your enemy? The devil. Number three, your armor is your responsibility. Now, when you enlist in the military, you go through basic training. They issue gear to you. They put it in your hands. They provide it and they pay for it. But once you got it, it's your responsibility. And so what you got to know is you got to learn it and you got to know it and you got to become proficient with it and you got to take care of it and keep it oiled up and shined up. And most of all, you got to use it. God has issued all of us complete tactical spiritual gear. And it's on every one of us to maintain that in our life. Amen, Chris? It's on every one of us to learn how to use it. But the good news is you don't have to train yourself. God has sent tactical training officers into the kingdom, into the church. It's the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, and the pastor to equip us with the truth of God's word so that we can armor up. Every single Sunday y'all walk in these doors, you're putting on the armor. Every single day you open your Bible and you read it, you're putting on the armor. Every single day you listen to the Renewal Fuel on the app, you're putting on the armor of God. I thank God that we're a people that are armored up, but you got to understand it and you got to use it, and we got to put it on. God's not going to do it for you. Well, Josh, I asked Jesus into my heart and I just don't understand why nothing's ever going right for me. I go to church 1 in 4 Sundays. I read my Bible every time I come to church. Hello? No wonder we're easily overcome by the attacks of the enemy. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. In other words, preparation is your part, but victory is his part. You cannot do his part, but he will not do your part. It's just like a gym membership. These guys work out, but you can buy a gym membership. You can pay for it every month, but it doesn't automatically give you a six-pack, does it? You're like, Nate, you're doing CrossFit. You got to get up. You got to go to the gym. You got to be disciplined in what you eat. And you got to use what's available every single day. Well, I want somebody to know today, Jesus paid the price at the cross of Calvary for us to have complete and unlimited access to the kingdom of God and everything in it. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. The problem is, we don't use what he made available because we don't even know what's ours. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're satisfied to be kingdom. And God has called us to be a people that know him through his word. And if there's, you know, we go to church, if there's nothing else on our schedule, God is secondary. God is a part of our life. He's not our life. But I want you to know today, there's a reason why God gave us our solar system and put the sun at the center. It's to give you something you can see to tell you how your life ought to look. Everything ought to revolve around the sun. Come on, somebody. Number one, you're in the army now. Number two, identify your enemy. Number three, your armor is your responsibility. And number four, we fight from a position of victory in Christ. We fight from a position of victory in Christ. We fight from a position of victory in Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, in this way, he, or Jesus, disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly. In other words, he embarrassed them openly by his victory over them. Where? On the cross. He did it by his victory over them on the cross. Let me ask y'all something today. Was the work Jesus did on the cross a complete work? Is it a finished work? When he was hanging there, what did he say? It is what? See, we're not trying to defeat Satan. And this is the problem most churches run into and most believers run into. And there's a lot of goofiness in spiritual warfare. And I want you to know today, we're not trying to defeat Satan. Satan is already defeated. The message of Christianity and of the gospel is not try, try, try. It's trust, trust, trust. This is the work of God, that you believe in Jesus Christ and the one who sent him. Jesus is already seated in victory far above the enemy. The enemy is under his feet. And the Bible says you're seated there in victory with him. And that means the enemy is already under your feet. So stop trying to get what you already got. You're not trying to win the victory, y'all. It's already yours. And so let that truth become your new reality. You say, well, Josh, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Here's the key to allowing this truth to become your reality. Acknowledge your position, not your condition. I said, you got to look and acknowledge your position. You're seated in the heavenly places in victory in Christ Jesus, not your condition, not the day-to-day things that you're struggling with and that you're going through. Acknowledge your position, not your condition. Philemon verse 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, in Christ. Faith is the acknowledgement of my superior position in Christ. Somebody say, in Christ. Come on, somebody say, in Christ. Everybody in this section, shout, in Christ. Everybody in this section, shout, in Christ. Everybody in the balcony, you're going to have a whole lot of work to do because there's less of you. Shout, in Christ. In Christ. Now, I want you to grab a hold of this because it shows up 164 times in the New Testament. The terms in Christ, in the Lord, and in him. It is a better description of a follower of Jesus than anything else. The word Christian only shows up a couple times. A better way of talking to each other would be saying, hey, brother, are you in him? Hey, sister, are you in Christ? Amen? That's the way the New Testament describes it, because here's the deal. When you're in him, other people can see him in you. All right? Anybody seen the movie Iron Man or the Iron Man movies? Y'all just wave at me. You don't have to be embarrassed because you're in God's house. Oh, great. All three of you. Are the rest of y'all under a rock? My favorite one is the third one. But anyway, if you watch the Iron Man movie, the guy's name is Tony Stark. And Tony Stark is dealing with some deficiencies in his body physically. And he builds a suit to overcome those deficiencies. And when he gets in the suit, he's undefeatable. When he gets in that Iron Man suit, nothing can stop him. Nothing can overcome him. Can I tell you today, church, that the key to our victory, the key to our success is seeing yourself in Christ. You got to get in your Christ suit. And when you're in your Christ suit, the enemy cannot overcome you. As long as I stay in him, I'm protected from the attacks of the enemy. I'm protected from the world. I'm protected from the flesh, and I'm protected from the devil. Somebody ought to get in your Christ suit today, because greater is he that's inside of you than he that's in the world. Come on, y'all. Get a hold of that today. I want you to think of Iron Man next time you get attacked and understand you're in Christ and he's in you, and nothing can stop you in Jesus' name. Gentlemen at ease, if you would like to break up and move around, I want to make sure you can move around if you need to. They are sweating like crazy, y'all. We're going to let them stretch their legs out. Don't get nervous if they get near you. If you got a warrant out for your arrest, you're in the sanctuary today. We ain't going to take you. We'll wait till you get to the parking lot. So I will give you a jump on things before service is over, okay? They hate me now. They're like, man, I'm feeling good about this guy. And all of a sudden, he's got, you going to do what for him? But anyway, the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, Paul spends time hammering this message in Christ into you. There's only a few verses in the last chapter about spiritual warfare and armament. He spends three chapters telling you how superior, somebody say superior, our position in Christ is over the enemy. He says in Ephesians 1, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He says we are chosen by God. God picked you. He says we're adopted as his children. We're in the family of God. He said we're accepted. That's good news. He said we're redeemed. That means bought out of slavery. We are forgiven. We're washed in his precious blood. We have an inheritance that makes us wealthy, not only in this life, but after it. We're seated in victory in Christ Jesus right now, y'all. That's why 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. In Iron Man, there it is. In Christ, I'm moving from victory to victory. I'm moving to my next victory. And here's why. Because, Tony, we are proceeding from the greatest victory of all, and that is the victory of the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ defeated the enemy and stripped them of his power over the life of those who are found in Christ. Thank God I'm moving to my next victory. And he's got another victory for me after that. No matter what you're going through today, you ought to just tell the devil, not today, Satan. I'm moving towards my next victory in Jesus' name. We're not trying to get the victory. You got to acknowledge your position, not your condition. Let me tell you something else today. We're not trying to get free. You're already free. Because hope, the Bible says in John 8, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. How many of you have accepted Christ as your Savior? Just wave at me. Oh, there's going to be a good altar call today. I see lots of hands down. The Bible says you're already free. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 is one of my favorites. It says it like this. It says, he has. The tense of that is in the past. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He's already delivered you from the power of darkness. He's already delivered you from the power of darkness. You say, well, Josh, I'm still struggling in sin. I'm still struggling with addiction. I'm still struggling with porn. I'm still struggling with pride. I'm still struggling with alcohol or lying or fornication or whatever it might be. Come on, y'all, you got to acknowledge your position and not your condition. It doesn't mean it's not going on. You keep running to the cross. His grace is sufficient for you. You keep confessing your sin, but you got to see yourself set free. You got to see yourself delivered. You got to see yourself the righteousness of God in Christ, because righteous is as righteous does. If you get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I am the righteousness of God, not because of my works, but because of Jesus's, and you lean on him, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to start seeing yourself different, and you're going to start walking a new path, and you're going to overcome the addiction, you're going to overcome the temptation, you're going to break the chains of the enemy, because you're allowing the truth of your position to overcome the lie of your condition. Come on, stop living a lie and step into the truth and be who God created you to be. Is helping anybody today? The warfare we're engaged in is keeping ourselves free from allowing the enemy access back into my life. That's the battle right there. Because y'all know when you get saved, he comes back. Y'all know that's true? The Bible says that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. He said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Watch verse 44. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. That old life tries coming back on you. That's why you got to be in that Iron Man suit every single day in Christ. Give God thanks and praise that we have overcome the enemy and the old life. So let's talk today about weapon number one. Weapon number one. He cites the belt of truth. Now these guys are wearing what we call today a duty belt. All right. And they've got a belt there that has so many of their components and of their weaponry clipped on. Would you guys make your way kind of down the aisles just so people can look at that duty belt and see what you've got on there? And here's the thing I want you to know about the belt. The reality is that the belt they're wearing is one of the most overlooked components of the weaponry. But it's the most important, because so much hangs on that one critical component. See, for a Roman soldier, it would hold his breastplate down, and it would hold his tools, his weapons up. And that's what the Word of God does for us. It keeps us grounded, but it also lifts us up. Can somebody say amen today? And if you just think about it, the reality is, I mean, the belt is straight up boring. Everybody wants to see the gun. Every little kid that runs up to a cop, no little kid has ever in the history of mankind run up to a cop and said, I want to see your belt. They always want to see the gun or the handcuffs or put the lights on in the car, right? But without the duty belt, everything else falls off. So what is the truth Paul is referring to? Well, John chapter 17, verse 17 tells us, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is what? Your word is what? Your word is what? Your word is the truth. So the belt of truth he's talking about is the word of God. Psalm 119, 160, the entirety of your word is truth. How much of God's word is true? How much of this is true? Let me tell you right now, there are churches that don't believe it's all true. They believe some of the stories are just cute allegories. We believe God and we take him at his word, because if some of it's not true, then none of it's true. The Bible says it's all given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God breathed all of it. And just like that duty belt, the word of God holds everything in the universe up. It holds it together. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. This son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says, powerful words. You say, well, Josh, why is this piece of armor so important in my life as a believer? Very simply, because Jesus tells us the devil is a liar. Amen. And the opposite of truth is a lie. And the opposite of a lie is what? It's truth. He said in John chapter 8, verse 44, you're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he doesn't stand in the what? The truth. He don't know nothing about this belt, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is a liar. The devil is an accuser. Anything he tells you is a lie. Let me give you a tip for tomorrow morning. When the devil's lies start hitting your mind, just flip them over, and that's the truth. So if he tells you you ain't good enough, you say, I'm the apple of God's eye, you liar. I am a treasure to God. He died on the cross for me. If he tells you you're a failure, you tell him, my Bible says I'm victorious in the name of Jesus. If he tells you you're going to hell, you say, I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. And Jesus himself told me, you personally can't snatch me out of his hand. I'm going to heaven. Amen. The weapon we have that holds everything in our life up and grounds us is the truth of God's word. Deception is his greatest weapon. Now, y'all listen to me real close, because I'm going to talk about the times we live in. Jesus said in the last days, in Matthew 24, that deception would grow worse and worse. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. He said in 2 Timothy 3:1, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. But evil people, he says, and imposters will flourish, fakes, phonies. They will deceive others and themselves be deceived. Can I tell y'all today, time is running out. I didn't say the end is here. I said the end is near. Come on, y'all. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. You'd be a nut job to put a date and a time on it and run from anybody that does. But I do know this, that we're one day closer. Okay? And the closer we get to the end, the angrier the devil is going to rage, and the worse deception will grow. And it will become increasingly hard for people to recognize or receive truth. And one of the most commonly used phrases in our pop culture today is very simply this. You've all heard it. Live your truth. Live your truth. And it's an effort to say, do what you want to do, you be you. Well, here's the problem with that. Truth is truth no matter who you are. I mean, if you think the live your truth thing works for you, why don't you tell that to the cop that pulls you over for doing 95 in a school zone because you got distracted while eating a bowl of cereal, doing your mascara, and checking your Instagram? Why don't you tell I'm living my own truth to the IRS officer that shows up at your house and says, I'm sorry, sir, you owe $86,000 of back taxes. Hello? Living your own truth ain't going to work with him, and it's not going to work with God either. It is a demonic, a subtle, and a spirit of seduction that is slipping in to ruin the lives of humanity and place them in bondage. And here's what that spirit's voice sounds like. Listen to your feelings. Listen to your highest thoughts. Listen to your experience. They are your guide. Let them be your source for truth. There are no shoulds. There are no shouldn'ts. There are no rights. There are no wrongs. Do what you want to do. You make your own rules. You set the guidelines. Y'all know this is being taught and promoted in schools. You decide how well you've done. You decide how well you're doing. You're your own judge. You answer to no one but yourself. As a matter of fact, the number one song in America right now, it's called Old Town Road, and the hook in it says, "Can't nobody tell me nothing." Over and over and over. Why are you laughing, Marcia? That's 2 weeks in a row you're busting me for singing. The devil's a liar. That spirit says everything is acceptable in the sight of God. You hear one like this, love is love. Truth is different for everybody. It just depends on their situation. You must decide what's true for you. Do what feels right and what feels comfortable in that situation. But I come to raise a standard today, church, and remind all of us that that is the spirit of Antichrist at work in our generation, trying to rob the purity and the purpose of our kids, seducing and drawing away the masses. Proverbs 14:12 still says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Just because something feels good doesn't mean it is good. The Bible is the lens we got to look through to form a view on our world, to form a victorious view on life, on sexuality, on relationships, on money, on decision makings. That book is the truth that will keep you free, not just one day, but every single day. Come on, somebody. And we live in a day and in a world that is becoming increasingly intolerant of the truth. If you share God's word, if you believe this book at all, you are going to be labeled a bigot. People will tell you that it's hate speech. People will tell you that you're being judgmental if you speak the truth or stand for the truth. I don't know about y'all, but there's just something on the inside of me that is a deliverer. I remember one time as a kid, we were driving past a place that was on fire, and I had my mom stop the car, and I jumped out, and I ran to that house to see if there was anybody in it. And I grabbed the garden hose, and I started spraying that thing. I want to tell you right now, if your house is on fire, I love you enough to tell you it's on fire, and you need to get out, and you need to get into a place of safety. I don't tell you that because I don't love you. I tell you that because I do love you. Come on, somebody. But you're going to be labeled a judge. And I'm just going to tell it today the way I see it. If y'all don't like it, just write me off. But in America today, Christians are the only ones being singled out and silenced. Everybody's got a right to their opinion and their point of view. But if you cite God's word, man, all hell's going to break loose. This is a day when we live in a world that is increasingly intolerant of God's truth. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because the devil's running this joint. But he ain't running my life. As for me and my house, we're living according to this book, and Jesus is Lord. I want to ask the worship team to join me. We must speak the truth, but we must speak it in love. Truth without grace is just mean, but grace without truth, y'all, is meaningless. He didn't save me in my sin. He saved me from my sin. And what he saved me for is greater than what he saved us from, y'all. And the only way we can defeat the deception is through the truth of God's word. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth does not make you free. The truth you know, Randy, is what makes you free. For too many of us, the belt of truth is overlooked. The belt of truth is boring, and it's overlooked, and it's ignored, and it sits on a shelf collecting dust. It goes into that folder. The Victory Now app goes into that folder, or our Bible app into that folder on our phones that never, ever gets used. And it's time for us to get that belt of truth back out, because it is the only thing that will inoculate you from the deception of the enemy and the spirit of our age. And I'm going to hit you right now with lightning round. I'm going to give you some fast facts about the truth. Number one, truth originates in God because God is truth. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. There is one true living God. I'm sorry if that ticks you off, but that's what the Word of God says. And all of God's people that believe it, come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Y'all, come on, y'all get with me today. Number two, truth is absolute. Somebody say absolute. God's Word is total, and it's final, and it stands all by itself. It needs nothing else. John 8:14. Jesus said, you're right that you only have my word, but you can depend on it being true. Number three, truth is essential. Somebody say essential. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I know that ticks you off. I know you think that every road in Bradford County gets you to Victory Church, but that is stupid. Heaven is a destination, ain't no different than going to McDonald's. If you want to get to McDonald's, you got to take the right path. Jesus said, I am the path, I am the truth, and I am the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. Number four, truth is universal. It's not different for one person and different for another one. It's not different one time than it is for another one. This book fits each of us and fits all of us, and we all play by the same rules. I don't care who you are today, because the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. He's going to judge us all the same by this book. Amen? The fifth thing you need to know is that truth is eternal. Isaiah 40:8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of our God stands forever. That means you can build your life on this book. And if you do, you're building a life that lasts. Not just time, but eternity. The sixth thing you need to know is that truth is an antibacterial. It is a purifier. It is a cleanser. Psalm 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? Listen to me, all you millennials. By taking heed according to your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It is the only compass we have to keep us from getting lost in a sea of sin and depravity. And the last one today is very simply this. Number seven, truth is liberating. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. I believe with all my heart, between praise and worship and this message, we are freer right now than when we walked in, because we've received truth. Come on, somebody. Chains have broken while you're sitting here today. Strongholds have come down. God has given us a roadmap to get you to the life you always wanted. It'll get you to the destination you desired. It'll get you to a place called love and purpose and satisfaction and acceptance and confidence and success and freedom and strength and victory and destiny and plenty and legacy and meaningfulness. That book is an instruction manual. It is a blueprint for building a life that lasts. It's the standard for every thought, every decision, every action, every word, every attitude, regardless of my preference, regardless of my feelings, regardless of my circumstances. It doesn't matter what I want. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This book is what we will be judged by. There is a test at the end of class, y'all, but the good news is the teacher has already given us the answers. Come on, somebody. It's time we get back to the basics. It's time we get back to the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Come on, y'all. We need God's word. Get into the word. Get into the house of God. Don't just come. Connect with the message. Live what you learned this week. Don't you whine. Get out there and shine. Be a difference maker. Come on, somebody, give God praise.
If you're ever in northeastern Pennsylvania, we'd love to meet you in person. Come experience Victory Live. Victory Church is located at 645 East Main Street in Troy, Pennsylvania. You can choose a service time that's best for your needs. Sunday services are at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Or join us for our midweek service and all children and student ministries every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more info, check us out on the web at voiceofvictory.com or get the Victory Now app for your mobile device. It's free and it's available today in your app store. If you were blessed by today's message, we would absolutely love to hear from you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 302, Troy, PA 16947. Until next time, remember, there's victory in Jesus.